Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to the Encavis AG conference call regarding the Q1 interim statement, including latest news of today. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Husmann.
Hello again to all of you. I'm sorry, sometimes the days are quite turbulent, and at least you now today get an insight of how turbulent a day might be here in office. So, as a matter of fact, we already talked to each other 2 hours ago when we showed to you the figures of Q1, and in fact, it was planned that yesterday evening there was a signing, or is already on Friday, for the sale of minority interest in 4 wind farms. So, today we showed to you already these charts. First, some just title charts only, which you can read diligently on our website. Then we introduced to you into our Q1 figures with and without weather adjustments. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to inform you about the background of our sale of 49% each in our 4 different wind farms in northern Germany. A sale which was done by Encavis AG, but which was managed by Encavis Asset Management. This sale of 49% interest in the 4 different wind farms, Briest, Breitendeich, Debstedt, and Lunestedt, is a direct investment of an institutional fund managed by Encavis Asset Management. Encavis AG will keep the remaining 51% shareholding in these parks and manage the parks. Sorry. The process was going on for quite a while, and it was not only this fund from Encavis Asset Management bidding for the 49% participation, but 2 big, well-known international insurance groups were in that process as well. But the fund by Asset Management bid the big highest price. The purpose of the sale of 49% shareholding was to recycle cash. The total cash inflow after tax from this sale will be 24 million euros, which is due on the 30th of June this year. And the idea behind that is not only to raise cash for further investments in the group, but to diversify our local wind risk position. We pointed out in several meetings with you that while in wind there is a local risk, in solar we do not have that. The local risk in wind, for instance, occurs if the wind direction changes slightly due to the fact that the wind towers are directed in the optimal direction of, for instance, 85% likelihood of wind. If the wind direction changes, then the positioning of the poles is not optimal anymore, creating wind shadows to each other. And so therefore, we decided quite a while ago that it would be smarter to own 51% of a huge portfolio instead of 100% of a smaller portfolio. So therefore, we not only increased the return of the remaining 51% participation, but we reduce the risk of our wind portfolio as well by the sale of 49%. The IFRS book values, which are considered to already include the current market valuation, are totally confirmed by this sale and slightly exceeded. To give you a clue of the profit and the value enhancement we take away from this sale is that in the comparison of the book value according to German GAAP, which reflects the historic investment, this is different to IFRS, which reflects the current market valuation, but the historic investment we did in these parks, and this book value of today, which reflects that investment, is 38.7 million euros, this for 100%. The sales price, which we today realized, is 50.7 million euros. 49% out of that will be is ours, so these are the 24 million. So the profit on 100%, or the value creation on 100%, or the value reflection we show with that 49% sale, is approximately 12 million. Since we sell 49% of these parks, we show in our German GAAP accounts then a profit of 5.9 million, respectively, 49% out of the 12 million. This is a value increase of 31%. If you have in mind that we own these parks only for 2 to 3 years, which is an average, so, approximately 2.5 to 3 years ownership, this is a tremendous increase in value. How did we raise this value? First of all, it shows that we selectively acquire parks in the market, and that we, in our approach in exclusive negotiation of parks, in special situations of the developers or sellers, we are able to buy them on quite good prices, and that we do have the right approach to the market. And this price or value increase shows that we are able to de-risk the projects, because if they then have the right ramp-up phase and run properly, the market is willing to pay what they see, and therefore pay higher prices. And it shows that our approach for the technical optimization of the parks is well received in the market, because with some of these parks, we implemented or we already attached winglets to the blades. We described that to you in the past, that we improve the performance of the park by the attachment of winglets. And in addition to that, it shows that the commercial optimization, that means the right financing and the right distribution of dividends from these parks, are well received in the market as well. Today, in this morning call, we showed you our guidance of the year 2019, according to IFRS 16 effects. In total, we see currently that the whole portfolio of our parks improves steadily, commercial-wise, technically, each park contributing some additional either revenues or reduced cost. This, in combination with this result from the sale of this 49% participation, led to the decision of the board to improve our guidance. Here, we show you the comparison of the guidance 2019, as of March 2019, and the improvement of EBITDA, EBIT, and cash flow according to IFRS 16. But in addition to that, we update our guidance, starting from the guidance which we have shown to you today in the afternoon, is that we increase the revenue guidance from 255 million to more than 260 million. This is due to the increased efficiency in our overall portfolio regarding availability, energy prices, and energy output. Please have in mind the winglets, which I told you about in the wind farms. In addition to that, we believe that the EBITDA, which says that the guidance 2019, including IFRS effects, would account for more than 199 million, will be increased to more than 210 million. These 11 million derive more or less half by half, either by the additional revenue or by the sale of which I already shown to you. The EBIT, which was guided for as more than 140 million, will be increased to more than 125 million, so the 11 million from the EBITDA apply here as well. The cash flow, will be increased from more than 188 million to more than 190 million. Please be aware that the proceeds from the sale of the 49 participation is not shown in the operating cash flow, but in the investment cash flow. And that the 5 million or so from the revenues are not fully shown in the operating cash flow because some of them will spill over to 2020. Specifically, these cash flows, which will be accounted for as EBITDA in the fourth quarter of 2019. The EPS, which was not affected by IFRS 16 and still has, is shown as bigger than 35 cents per share, will increase to more than 40 cents per share in 2019. The equity ratio, which slightly suffered under IFRS 16 and went down in our guidance from 26 to 25%, will slightly profit from the sale of the 49% participation with more or less half a percentage point. So this is not really reflected here in the guidance. So the equity ratio will be still 25%, but a little bit higher 25% than today at 3 o'clock. And this is due to the fact that the 24 million minority payment for the 49% will be accounted for as equity in our balance sheet at year's end. Ladies and gentlemen, this was, in fact, what we already wanted to tell you today in addition to the Q1 figures. So therefore, I think having said that, I would like to ask you and invite you for further questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the keys 9 and star on your telephone keypad. If you want to cancel your question, press 9 and star once again. Please press 9 star now for your questions. The first question comes from Charlotte Friedrichs.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, Mrs. Friedrichs.
Hi, sorry. No, the operator was cut off. So my first question would be, you mentioned the gain under HGB. Can you also let us know what the gain under IFRS would be? Is that any different, or?
Yes.
You said it's a slightly exceeded the book value.
Well, honestly said, the book value under IFRS is a totally different to HGB. In HGB, first of all, it is the historic investment into that park, which is reflected in the book value. While in IFRS, it is the market value, which is considered under some theoretical assumptions of IFRS. So in fact, the 12 million profit, which we show under HGB, was already accounted for under IFRS as immaterials. So in the end, you won't see, for two reasons, any profit effect under IFRS. Why? Firstly, it is that this profit was already shown as badwill or something similar with the first consolidation of that park. And secondly, under IFRS, this is considered to raise of equity and a sale of a minority stake, if you are further in control of that park, may not be shown in the P&L, but only directly under equity. So under IFRS, you never will see any positive profit effect, but the value of the 49% is lower than the sales price which we receive. So there will be slightly above that, several 10,000 or 100,000 euros will be the sales price above the proportional IFRS figure. But we may not show it. Not in the P&L. So it is several 10,000 to 100,000 euros which will then pop up in the equity. But the value equation is only shown under German GAAP. And you know that I'm not a very, very friend of IFRS. This is, for instance,
yes.
a very nice example to show you why.
Okay, no, and a related question then, maybe it's because I didn't see the slides because the MeetYou tool doesn't seem to work, but why did you raise the guidance then compared to the release that you had this morning if the sale doesn't have a positive P&L effect?
And
just sort of catching up with the information that you already had this morning that you now decided to share with us? Or
No. So firstly, that wouldn't be allowed too. So firstly, there are two reasons why we raise the guidance. And first of all, please be aware that the guidance does not refer to IFRS figures, but to operating figures.
Okay, so there you reflect again.
In the operating figures, there you have exactly that profit from HGB, and you know why? Because what we do not show in the operating figures are all these evaluation effects under IFRS which are not cash related. So any effects from the first consolidation of a park of these wind farms were not shown in the years 2016, 17 and so on. So now we show the value creation. This is something in between IFRS and HGB, audited by our auditors as well, but it shows exactly now the value creation.
Okay, understood. So the increase in adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EBIT of around 10, 12 million euros, that's the gain that we see here. Is that correct?
It is, sorry, again, from the 11 million, approximately half of it is from the sale because we only show here the 49% sale, not the 100%
mm-hmm.
sale.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half comes from the revenues. And the revenues is just an improvement of the overall efficiency in the group on the existing parks. In 255 parks, which we manage properly, there's here some more availability, in another park, a better energy prices, in another one, a better output due to investment into winglets, and so on. And all of that is collected and in our budget now integrated. So the revenues comes from efficiency increases, and from the existing parks, and this drops through to EBITDA and EBIT, and the other part, the other half of the 11 million, is from the sales of these 49%. And the point is, this afternoon, we only wanted to show you both effects in one, and since the sale was not signed at 3 o'clock, we had to tell you about the guidance now.
Okay, understood. And how much firepower do you roughly have now following the sale if you want to make further acquisitions?
The firepower is, as you know from our balance sheet, we have 210 million euros in our cash accounts, some of them on group level, some of them on park level. And so with these 24 million and credit lines we have in place and some 40 million from the green bond still there in place, we have roughly 100 million euros available.
Okay, understood. And I think in one of the press releases you also indicated that you may sell further minority stakes in other parks.
Yes.
Did I understand that correctly? And can you maybe give us an idea of the magnitude that this could have?
This is a very good question. You know, in the end, this is a question of negotiation of between the seller and the buyer, and on the respective jurisdiction. Let's put it that way. We hardly work that such similar results like this will come out of that in the future. As a matter of fact, negotiation and the discussion with the respective interested parties went on for 9 months. So we don't know how far fast we can speed up, whether this will be then close the deal this year or next year. It's pretty hard for us to predict, but I think efficiency on the side of the buyers and as well as of the seller will hopefully will drive it up, but I cannot forecast you how many deals we will do which year, but what I can tell you, we will.
Okay, And last question would be on the operating figures. You would show this under the asset management segment, I assume, or which segment would you book the whole sale under?
So the profit from the sale will be shown in the segment wind.
Okay.
And the fund implementation fees, structuring fees, are shown in the asset management. Because this is the remuneration for the personal costs they have in place for doing that.
Okay, understood. So I'm guessing that helps you also to achieve your targets for the asset management unit in 2019.
Excuse me?
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
So it helps you. Yes, yep. It helps you achieve the targets here. Can you give us an idea roughly how much in fees are you expecting to receive here?
It is already included in this guidance here. And this will be, for a moment, rough calculation. It is... It will be approximately 1.3 million or so.
Okay, and I'm guessing in Q2?
In Q2, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Tanya Markloff.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. I would be interested whether you could give us, just for clarification, your new guidance by division for the EBITDA and EBIT. And if we additionally take into account the weather effect in Q1, would it be right to assume that EBITDA could reach more than 216 million then? And I would also be interested in a guidance on the net debt by the end of 2019, and whether you could give us a transaction multiple for the disposals of the stakes in the four wind parks, i.e. either a EV/EBITDA multiple or PE multiple.
Okay. Wow, there were many questions. So the first ones I didn't get acoustically. New guidance for what?
Well, the 210 million EBITDA by division, as you originally provided us with a divisional guidance for, so how much of the 210 million will be achieved in the PB segment, how much in the wind segment, how much, et cetera.
Okay, so if you just add in the new guidance, keep the asset management and the Encavis technical service as it is, and add the 4 million of the sales to the PV and 1 million to wind, and then add the this book value here the, of 5.6 million, or did I say 5.9 million? Sorry, 5.9 million to the wind in the EBITDA, and then you have it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Then the 260 million EBITDA. Whether this is possible? Well, in the end, what you do is then to add the weather effect of the first quarter to our EBITDA guidance. As a matter of fact, we did not work on our, or we did not include the weather effect in our guidance, and the reason for that is quite simple. We had now a very strong first quarter compared with a very weak first quarter 2018, but we expect that the second quarter 2019 will be not as positive compared to the second quarter 2018. The April looks to be extremely good, but the May 2019 looks to be pretty weak. So therefore, well, out of tradition, I would say, we usually work on our guidance due to meteorological reasons with the result of the second quarter and then adjust our guidance. So therefore, whatever you add up to that, this updated guidance here, which I have shown to you, is purely without any weather adjustment It is for the full year only standard weather assumed. Regarding the net debt per year's end, honestly said, we'll have some progress in the project Talayuela assumed, which will be under construction as of Q3 2019. And therefore, I think since we do have some amortization on park level in the meantime, I think it is fair to assume to have the same net debt at year's end.
Thank you.
Then the P multiple of that sale, honestly said, this has to be given to you afterwards. I don't know it by heart currently. Not exactly enough to answer your question. So your peers will inform you on that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We don't have any more questions in the queue.
Okay, then thank you very much for dialing in a second time. We didn't want to bother you, but unfortunately, due to delayed signing, this was necessary. Please take away with you that this deal, with the start of this strategic approach to sell down 49% of selected parks as of today, with the first park as the start of a new strategy, which we will implement further on. So this profit, which we have shown here for the sale of this 49% participation in the wind farms, will be possible in the future as well, and so we work on that to realize it. Thank you very much for the dialing in again, and have a good day. Thank you.